right.
You know, I've shared a story with many of you before up front even. I used to have, sometimes I still do, I used to have these terrible dreams where, like, I would show up for a class. I'd been, like, out of school for a long time, but I'd show up for a class, and it would be my time to give a presentation, and, you know, I wouldn't be ready to go. Like, it'd be like, Derek, you're up. You know, it's time for you to speak. And I'd be like, I didn't prepare. Like, I didn't even know it was my turn. And then it gets even worse when I have a dream that I show up on Sunday and I'm supposed to preach, and I had no idea. And it's like basically like, you know, Derek, you're on. And so some select few people like Don, Scott, and Heather, Benji, and my in-laws played a joke on me one time where I came in the front door, and Don was like, you know, I'm so excited. And I'm like, why? It's good that you're excited this morning. And he's like, I'm so excited to hear you speak. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? I'm not speaking today. And he's like, yeah, you know, you're in the bulletin. And I opened it up, and it said, sure enough, said my name. And I was like, nah, that's just a misprint, you know, whatever. So I go to my section, and my in-laws are like, oh, I'm so glad to hear you speak, Derek, today. You know, I'm so excited. And I'm like, I'm not. And then I'm like, Heather, what's going on? Heather, what's going on? And then even Scott comes over, and he's like, yeah, I'm, you know, encouragement. Yeah, I'm excited to hear you speak. And it turned out it was just a joke. But I was... But I was ready to get out of there. Well, then when I came this morning, Benji's name was in the bulletin. So I figured, is that like the reverse, where I show up thinking I'm going to have to preach, but really he's going to do it? And Scott said, you know, you probably just want to get it over with, right? And I said, yep, I do. But I'm thankful when I'm asked to preach and speak that I already know what I'm going to speak about. You know, those are the easiest times because I already have an idea of what God's been talking to me about. You know, it's those things that he'll speak to us about in no matter where we go, no matter what we do. All of a sudden we're like, oh, there's that one idea again. There's that one thought. There's that one thing that just keeps coming back and coming back. And even some time ago, I'd say a few months ago, I said to Heather, I said, yeah, I have this really, you know, an idea for a message that I should probably do. And she says, well, you should do it. And I said, yeah, I'll put it together. Well, you know how things go. You know, I haven't been putting it together. I've just been kind of formulating it in my mind. But then Benji said, you're up. And so it was time to put it together. And so it's one of those things, as I mentioned, that God has been speaking to me about, you know, whether it be on the radio or here, you know, something that Benji's talked about or a random conversation, or even a news article, you know, pointed me all to these things that the Lord was saying. You know, I want you to think about this section of Scripture in a different way that you've ever thought about it before. And the area of Scripture is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the burning fiery furnace. You know, whenever, you know, I read this section of Scripture, I hear this section of Scripture, I'm always reminded of the power of God, you know, how amazing He is. You know, they were asked to do something they knew they shouldn't, they couldn't, you know, and really to them, that's the key. They couldn't do it. They couldn't bow before a gold image that Nebuchadnezzar had asked them to, commanded them to. They knew that God wouldn't want them to, so they were willing to give their lives. They were willing to say, you know, if you want to throw me in the fire, so be it. And, you know, this is where the power of God shows through, you know, to see us through the flames of life, you know, to see us through the flames, the eternal flames, to see us through and protect us from the world around us and those who mean to do us harm. You know, and I hope you've all seen these in your life. The power that he has and he uses to protect us from the enemy, you know, the master of evil, he who walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And even beyond that, which I'm thankful for, the power of God protects us from our own selves, from our own self-destructive behaviors, from our own choices that I think we could all look back and say, wow, you know, the Lord was there protecting me from myself. And these are things that I'm thankful for. But today we're going to look at it a little bit differently. Not necessarily we're not going to look at the power of God, but we're going to look at the story a little bit differently. As I've mentioned before, when I speak, you know, I don't have the answers. You know, I don't have the answers sometimes to your questions. I don't have the answers to what you need to do in life, but I know who to point you to that does have the answers. And so whatever it is that you're going through this morning, wherever you're at in your walk, whether you have a walk with Jesus Christ or you don't, whether you feel good today, feel very good, or you don't feel good at all, wherever you're at, I ask that you look to the Lord today to see what He has for your life. Okay? Not just what He has for my life, or not just what He has for your neighbor's life. It's easy to look at a message or something that the Lord is trying to tell us, and we think, man, you know, that reminds me of him, you know, you know, or that reminds me of her, but not me, you know. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we could come together and speak about your love and your word. Lord, I ask that you calm our hearts and minds and allow us to focus in on your message today. Whatever we're going through, you know, whatever we're thinking about we're doing after this, Lord, help us to just focus in on you. Allow your will to be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So Daniel 3, 13 through 18, we're going to look at the story just real quick. If you're not familiar with it, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at this time, you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the fire, burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, I learned about this section of scripture with VeggieTales. Some of you might be familiar with that. But so I come to this section of scripture a lot, but this time there is one thing that I cannot escape, one declaration that has changed the way I look at this scripture, and that's just a phrase. If not. If not. But if not, let it be known. They're saying, if God does not deliver me from the flames, if God does not step in, he is still worthy to be praised. Even if God does not show up today, he is still Lord. Even if he does not show up today in your life the way he wants or the way you hope that he does, he is still worthy to be praised. It's easy to live our lives in a way that we only are willing to step out for God when we know that he's going to be there to spare us. Let me say that again. It's easy to live our lives in a way that we only step out when we know that God is going to be there to spare us. And spare us from what? Spare us from the fire. Spare us from hardship. Spare us from embarrassment. It's easy to be reluctant to step out and to live for Him. It's easy to be reluctant to to almost even put ourselves out there if we don't think that he's going to respond the way he ought to, that we think he should respond. And I don't want to live my life that way. You know, I truly want to have the attitude of, if not, Lord, let it be known, I will go anyway. Even if you don't respond in my life the way I hope, then here I am. Regardless of the potential outcome, regardless of embarrassment to me, if not, let it be known, even if you don't show up to save me from the flames, I will still proclaim you as Lord, and I will still praise your name. Daniel 3, 24 through 25 says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, I find this section kind of funny because I picture like in a movie or TV shows, you know, if Nebuchadnezzar was in a movie or a TV show, he would say, throw him into the furnace. For some reason, strange reason, I'm going to go do something else and not watch it happen, right? If you've ever seen movies or TV shows, and then that gives a chance for the heroes to escape, right? But no, he's going to see this through. He's watching it. He's like, you know, I'm going to see this thing done. And I love his reaction. It's like, guys, didn't we just put them in the flames? Because he's watching it. He says, did we not just cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And his group says, yeah, we did. And we know here that the Lord spared them, kept them from the flames. But for some reason, the Lord wanted me to look at it. What if it ended a little different? What if instead of, you know, they looked in there and they said, look, I see three men. No, they're dead. Nope. Yeah, they're gone. You know, how would that be? That would be, you know, you'd look at that and be like, oh, you know, that's not as exciting, right? That's not as amazing. But yet, the thing of it is, he wants us to be able to realize if that was to have happened, he is still Lord. He is still worthy to be praised. He is still powerful and amazing. And he is still the God who we should praise and be ready to walk into those flames, even if he doesn't respond the way we want him to. Even if he doesn't spare us from the hardship, if he doesn't spare us from the things that we wish in life we didn't have to go through, or maybe someone else is going through, he deserves our love and devotion no matter what he does in our life. Even if he doesn't answer a prayer. You know, and I'm talking about the even if a lot today. You're going to hear me say even if, and that'll make sense later. The even if he doesn't answer a prayer, I think can be one of the biggest struggles that we can face in Christianity. I think it's one of the things that an unanswered prayer or a no can be one of the hardest things that we face, and it really puts our true relationship with Jesus Christ in check. To ask us, where are you truly at? Are you willing to jump into the flames, whether I save you or not? Or are you going to stand and watch, and are you going to bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar? And maybe, are you frustrated about that unanswered prayer right now? Are you frustrated about a need or a want that you think that God should be answering and giving to you in your life right now? You know, are you wondering why, questioning? Are you questioning God, saying, Lord, I know that all it would take is one word, and my life can take a dramatically different path? I think we've all come to that. We say, Lord, you know, you are powerful. You are the only power. You are the only one to be praised. You're the only one who created us, the only one who can save us. You could do anything, anytime, and yet why don't you answer this one prayer? Why don't you come through on this one thing? I think we've all come to that. We've all been there, and maybe you're there now, Maybe you understand that turmoil, or maybe one day you're going to be like, oh, that's what Derek is talking about. This really stinks. We need to be prepared for that. Or maybe, like I said, you're going through it right now. You're frustrated. You're astonished. You're down. You're tired and you're weary. Maybe you put on a good mask. You show up around your family and your friends and you're looking fine. You're looking good. Everything is okay. But really inside, what I'm speaking to you is really tugging at your heart. One of the things that I always like to do when I speak is incorporate some kind of a strange encounter that I have or just everyday life situations. You know, one time I did a whole message about my McDonald's cup spilling in my car every day. Some of you might remember. I've talked about a random encounter with somebody in the middle of the night in an Albertsons server room. You know, and one of the things I like to do is I like to talk about and incorporate interactions I have with my kids, because my kids teach me so much about myself. They teach me so much about how they're viewing the world, and sometimes they teach me about how I am truly viewing the world, and I just don't realize it until they voice it. They teach me so much, and one of those things that I'm bringing up here is that I don't respond well to hints or beating around the bush, right? I like it straight. Okay. I like it straight from my kids, I like it straight from work, I like it straight from whoever I'm talking to. Let's not hint, let's just talk about it, right? And so I'm teaching that to my kids, and so the other day there was a neighbor kid over, and when the neighbor kids are over, I like to impart I like to impart my lessons upon them as well, because I don't know what happens, you know, when they're at home, so when my neighbor kids are over, I try and teach them lessons as well. But Heather had said that there was some really good salsa that she got, and then I should try it out. So I was hungry, so I went to the fridge. I got the salsa. I tried it, you know, tried a couple of chips. I was like, this is good. I poured myself a bowl, you know, got myself some chips, and went and sat in my recliner. And the whole time I did this, there was a neighbor kid just watching me, right? And he wasn't just watching me. He was coveting what I had, right? He was watching. He was the whole time. But I'm like, no, I'm going to let him ask. You know, I'm going to let him ask. And so I went and sat down. And then, you know, it's some time. I'm eating chips, salsa, it's good. But I know full well behind me, he is still watching me. And, you know, and that could bother me, but I'm used to it by now. So I just kind of laughed it off, you know. And then after a while, chips are really good. I hear from behind me. Chips are really good. And I'm like, yes, chips are very delicious. I said. And as some time goes by, you know, and he's like, those chips are really good. So more specific, he's getting closer. And you guys might think, man, give the poor kid some chips. But no, he has to learn. He has to learn, you know. And so then I'm eating, and then you know, it's a while this time, and I'm thinking maybe he gave up, you know. Maybe he walked away, but then I'm like, no, I can still feel him watching me, you know? And then all of a sudden, chips are really good with that sauce. And I'm like, yes, they are. I said, it is a delicious combination of goodness. I said, and then I dipped and I ate. And then what was really great is that Evan, I don't know what he was doing. I think he came in from the back or something. He came in and he was like, oh, Daddy has chips. He walked straight up to me. He looked at me. He said, Daddy, can I please have a chip? And I'm like, absolutely. You know, have some chips. And he's like, can I dip? I'm like, yeah, dip. Take it. And then I looked behind me and I said, if you want some, that's how it's done. And so did he ever ask? He didn't ever actually ask. I, you know, I'm not cold and heartless like I might sound from that story. I really, you know, it was like, do you want some chips? He's like, yes. I'm like, yes, what? He's like, what? I'm like, yes, please. And he's like, yes, please. It was painful, but we figured it out. I never have a problem with sharing, you know, food or snacks with neighbor kids or my kids. But I think there's something important in learning to ask for it. I think there's something important about being straight, you know, to just being up front. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Scripture tells us to let our requests be made known to God. Sometimes I think we miss the asking part. You know, we just assume that because God knows us, of course he does, he knows everything about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We assume that because he knows our needs and our wants and the things that we want, that he should just provide for us. You know, sometimes we almost even have an attitude of, he's God, he can give it to me. If he wants to, he will, right? And we miss the actual part of making our request made known to him. You know, I think everybody in here has fallen into where you say, you know, someone's going through a hard time, and you say, oh, I will pray for you, you know, or somebody talks about something that somebody else is going through, and you say, oh, I'll pray for that situation, and then you never actually do. I think we've all been there. But you see, what happens is we almost, in our mind, we think that the act of saying, you know, I'll pray for you, I'm thinking about you, you know, will actually get it done, but it doesn't, right? Now, I'm not saying God's not going to move because he knows our heart's desire, and I'm not saying he's not going to move without us praying. He does, and he blesses us in ways that I can't even imagine, but he is calling us to ask. He is calling us to make our requests known to him, to bring about our heart's desire. And you know, that request might actually be sharing with him that frustration. It might actually be sharing with him that you're angry that he's not coming through. So sometimes the prayer isn't answered because it never really took place. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about in your life, have you ever thought, you know, oh man, why isn't this happening? You know, God knows that this is really important to me. God knows that this is something that you know, needs to happen in my life, you know, or you know God knows the situation. Ask yourself, did you ever actually pray about it? Did you ever actually make your request be known to him? And you know, like I said, you know, I'll bless my kids and the neighbor kids with treats and stuff. Just as I will, sometimes I'll make it mass, sometimes I'll just, you know, I know you're hungry here, just take it, you know. God does that for us too. He'll give us things, he'll bless us, he'll see us through when we don't deserve it. When we shouldn't be blessed, he'll still bless us. But we can't rely on that because he's asking us to ask. So sometimes, as I said, it's not answered because it never really took place, or sometimes prayer isn't answered because we're asking in the wrong way. Because we're asking in the wrong way. Now, another example with my kids. You know, sometimes we'll be at the table, you know, and Heather will be serving one of the kids, and I'll be serving one of the kids, and then all of a sudden one of the kids is like, I want potatoes, you know? And I'm like, get your own potatoes, right? If you have kids, you've seen that, you know, I want juice. And I'm like, no juice, time out, right? I don't think so. You know, and it's like, it's always frustrating because it's like, I know they can see that, you know, I have two hands serving, you know, Heather has two hands serving, and it's like, oh, I want potatoes. I'm like, wait your turn, right? With this, you know, this is obviously an example of something that could happen with kids. You know, I want potatoes. But if they say, I want potatoes, I want juice, they don't come to me in the right way, I say no. I say not only no, but like I said, time out. You know, when we bring our requests to God, is that how we're bringing them? That same way? Lord, I want potatoes. You know, it's easy to throw a fit with God. It's easy just to kind of throw it out there like that. But we have to ask, when we come to him with a request, what does our attitude look like? You know, how are we bringing the request? Are we just assuming, God, you're God, and if you love me, you will do this? If you truly care for me, you will do this? You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So here we see it's not just a matter of bringing our requests to God. It's bringing them with a humble attitude. You know, it's like if I come home from work, you know, it's like, hey, Heather, you know, how was your day, right? Not food, right? I need food, you know, what's for dinner? You have to take care of the relationship. And just as with Jesus, we must take care of our relationship with him. We must grow in our walk with him. We must talk with him, allow him to speak with us. And when we come to him in humility and in all honesty, then we bring our request. James 4, 6 through 10 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself. You know, let's ask ourselves. So first we ask, did we even ask the prayer to begin with? Or did we just think it? Second, how did we bring it? Did we bring it with like an entitled mentality that, Lord, you know, you owe me? Or Lord, if you love me, you will do it? I can tell you that's not a way to have him answer our prayers. But so beyond that, maybe we're asking the wrong way, but here's the thing. Maybe we're asking the wrong prayer altogether. Maybe we're asking the wrong prayer. Maybe our prayer needs to be, Lord, break me of my pride first. Lord, teach me humility. Lord, break me of my pride and allow me to grow further in a relationship with you. Lord, teach me how to draw near to you. Because it says draw near to him, but we can't do that on our own. He has to teach us how to draw near to him. Show me, Lord, how do I humble myself before you? You know, he's going to be reaching out his hand. We have to take the step to actually take it. And sometimes, you know, we say, Lord, you're not answering my prayers. But maybe we're praying the wrong prayer. Just as I said, you know, sometimes, you know, the kids will be like, I want juice. Well, you know, I'll give them a chance. I'll be like, you know, wait, you know, how do we ask? Let them ask. Let them have a better attitude. Give them another chance. Okay, I'll get you some juice. So maybe we need to correct some of the things in our life first. Now, you can't correct it. I can't correct it. He has to correct it. So we still need to go to him. But we have to ask a different prayer. You know, 2 Chronicles says that we need to turn from our wicked ways. James tells us that we need to resist the devil, to cleanse our hands, to purify our hearts. This is a cleaning. He's saying, you must be clean as you come to me. Now, that doesn't mean we can't come to him to ask to be clean. He'll do that, right? Okay, so, but there's a process. If we want things that are just beyond what he would normally bless us with, if he wants him to act in our life, if we want him to do the miraculous, then we need to come to him in the right way. We need to come to him clean, purified, and only he can do that. So first, Lord, cleanse me. Teach me, Lord, how can I be cleansed? How can I be purified? Lord, how can I turn from my wicked ways? Show me what I must do. Give me the strength to walk away from temptation. Give me the strength to walk away from habits and addictions. Lord, give me the ability to be clean. And now, like I said, sometimes prayer is not answered because there's something in our lives keeping us from having a yes answer. Sometimes my kids could come right up to me and I could tell they are genuine. You know, this is they have a request for me, and they are loving, and they show me respect, and they say, you know, Daddy, can we please do this? And I'm like, wow, you know, they're really coming to me in the right way. No, I don't think so. Why? Because remember what you did earlier? Right? right? So you know, they could come to me and say, you know, can we do this? And I'm like, did you clean your room? Did you do what I asked you to do already? Did you do the things that you've already, I've already set you down a path, right? Did you do those things? No. Do that, then come back to me and ask in the same way you just did. Okay? That's how, you know, we interact with my kids. And that's how God's going to interact with us. You know, we can come to him and we can look at the checklists, right? And we could be like, man, I had humility, you know? Because we could truly have humility. We could be, you know, on our knees before the Lord, crying out to him, saying, Lord, you know, bring about this change in my life. You know, heal this person. You know, bring about this miraculous change. But yet he can say, there's something in your life that needs to change first. There's something in your life that's keeping us from being able to have that relationship. Go do what I asked you to do first, which you need to come to me for, he says. But do that first, then we can talk about this other thing. I hope you see where I'm going here. Sometimes we say, you know, God's not answering our prayer. Well, he is answering our prayer. It's just not what we want to hear. And like I said, the clean room, you know, if you have kids, you know, go clean your room, and then all of a sudden they come out, and they're like, it's done. And I'm like, something fishy about this, right? There's something not right about this, you know? These guys know, right? Yeah. You know, you go into the room, and you look under the bed, and everything's shoved there, right? And you're like, that's not going to do it. Or you open a closet, and stuff starts falling out. And you're like, that's not going to do it. You got to clean your room, and you got to do it right. God is calling us to clean our room, and we have to do it right. And the only way to do it right is to have him show us how to do it. Tell us where to put things. Tell us what to get rid of. Tell us, you know, how to use the things that we do have in our room. Tell us what to keep and what to say goodbye to forever. And as we do that, as we grow closer to him, our focus needs to be different, entirely different. As I said, it might be the wrong prayer. It needs to be, Lord, cleanse my wicked ways. Lord, show me how I can change. Change me. Show me how, Lord, I can clean the messy room of my life. 1 John 1:5-9 says, this is the message which I have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can't make ourselves more presentable to God. I think that's what we often will fall into. You know, maybe if I go to church more, maybe if I read the Bible more, maybe if I do good things more, maybe I will be more presentable, and maybe when I do come before him, maybe he'll listen to me. But it doesn't work that way. We can't make ourselves more presentable. He sees right through us. He is the only one that can change our life. And I hope you realize that today. I hope you realize that each one of these examples comes back to him. It comes back to him because we must go to him each step of the way. Each step of the way, check back in with Jesus. Do what he asked, check back in with Jesus. And as I said, you can't just hide everything under the bed or in a cupboard. And beyond that, you know, I think I can probably talk for hours on each one of these points, but as you can see, I'm moving towards something else. Maybe you don't believe in what you ask for. So maybe the prayer is, you know, never took place. Maybe it's a matter of not asking the right way, praying the wrong prayer. Maybe there's something in your life that is keeping you from that prayer being answered. or maybe you simply don't believe in what you ask for. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Mark 11:22-24 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" Perhaps your prayer today, like I said, maybe it's the wrong prayer that you've been praying. Maybe it's, "Lord, increase my faith. Increase my belief. Lord, show me your face. Show me who you are." You know, if I'm going to develop any relationship with anybody, time must be spent with them. In order to have faith, in order to believe, you have to trust. And in order to trust, you have to actually work at a relationship. You actually have to come together and communicate. It's not about me saying, "I want this, I want that. Lord, give me what I want." It's about saying, "Lord, here's where I'm at. What do you have for my life? What do you have for me? What do you want me to do?" And so we have here five things that are leading to the sixth. And the sixth is the hardest. The sixth is something that I think is probably one of the most frustrating things that we could face in life. So the first is the prayer never took place. The second is that we're not asking in the right way. The third is that there is something keeping us from having a yes answer. The fourth is asking the wrong prayer. The fifth is lack of faith. And the sixth, the hardest of all of them, is that the answer is no. The answer is no. And I think we've all been there. This is when the "even if" is hard. This is when the "I will stand for you, Lord, and I will not back down." No matter what you do, no matter whether you're going to save me from the fire or not, even if you don't, whether your answer is yes or no, I will praise you. Whether you come through the way I hope you will come through, Lord, my answer to you is yes. I will stand for you. But if not, let it be known. I love that phrase. But if not, let it be known. He, no matter what we go through, no matter whether he answers our prayer, no matter whether he says, "You know, no, come back, ask me later," or whether he says absolutely no, he is worthy to be praised. And I think that in many walks with Jesus, I think this is the hurdle that we need to get past. Because God does do a work in our life, a miracle in our life when we come to him. You know, he changes our life, and he'll change our life daily. And it could be amazing, you know? It is amazing, because he's changing our life, he's moving us forward, and then we come to a place where he says, "I'm sorry, no, no." And as I said, this can be frustrating. And maybe you're dealing with that no right now. Maybe there's something in your life that you've faced that's a no. Or maybe it's not something that's just a no, but something maybe has happened in your life and you say, "Lord, why? Why would you allow that to happen?" And as I said, you know, the Lord has been putting me on a course for this "even if," you know, "what if?" And then I came upon a song and I was like, "You've got to be kidding me, Lord." And maybe this is for you.
They say sometimes you win some, Sometimes you lose some, and right now I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. But right now I just can't. It's easy to say when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing a little faith is all I had right now. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing.
As I mentioned earlier, you know, maybe you understand the turmoil because you've been through it. Maybe you've been in a place in your life where you understand that. Maybe it's something that you're going to come to, and I hope you remember what God has spoken to you about today, that even when that happens, He is Lord. Or maybe there's an unmovable mountain in your life today. Maybe there's something that God, you feel, is saying no. You know? No. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing. It is well with my soul. You know, are you faced with the impossible? Are you faced with just hardship and weary? And you feel like, you know, like I said, it doesn't have to be something that is in front of you and an unmovable mountain. Maybe it's something, an unmovable mountain has come to your life unexpectedly. You know, we could be frustrated with our day by day living. You know, we could be frustrated with the Lord and be angry at him for not helping us find a good parking spot one day. You know, I've been there. You know, you're like, Lord, nothing's going right. Or maybe something terrible has happened in your life, in your family. Whatever it is, if you're having a hard time singing, it is well with my soul. Genuinely, like I said, if you have a mask, you know, we could put on the mask and we could pretend and we could do the best we can to just go about our day and live our life, you know, and hope that God will move that mountain. But what if he doesn't? You know what I'm talking about, because you're probably thinking about it right now. What if he doesn't? You know, and this is a hard thing that I've come to, you know, to see what, you know, sometimes I'm like, Lord, you know, why do you allow these things to happen, right? We've all been there. Will there be something to happen with me? Or you guys? Doesn't matter. We come to the place where we look at someone's life and we say, Lord, I am having a hard time saying it is well with my soul. I'm hurting for you who are hurting. And maybe that pain, you know, that pain behind the mask, it's time to talk about it. It's time to bring it to him who might not say yes, but he is the only way that we will have peace in our life. Even if it's no. He is worthy to be praised. Isaiah 40, 28 through 29 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have not, or those who have no might, he increases strength. Have you not heard? John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Matthew 11:28-29 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. I know we all want that. Whether you have audibly said that, whether you have said or ever talked to God, I don't know. But I know that we all want rest for our soul. You know, we are all hurting at one point or another. And maybe, like I said, maybe today is the day for you to encourage someone and help someone get that rest. Or maybe you're the one that's having a hard time. You feel God has allowed something in your life. Let me tell you, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter the hurts that you've caused, no matter the hurts that you have, no matter what's happened in your life, there is rest in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And only in him. See, this even if, that's the way I want to live my life. Even if he doesn't do what I hope he'd do, you know, praise him. Praise him. And Lord, how do I move forward? But I think today, many of us fall into not the even if, but the if only. We say, if only God would do this in my life. If only God would remove this unmovable mountain. If only God would heal the way I know he can. If only the people around me would treat me the way we think they should treat us. If only our kids did this. If only our job did this. If only our car would work like this. If only, if only, if only. I think you know what I'm saying. We look around us and we don't look to God. We look to all these things around us. We look to all of our circumstances and we say, if only, then maybe I could be right and come before him. But it needs to be even if, not if only something happens in your life, but what if it doesn't happen in your life? You know, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a story of God delivering them. But there are plenty of stories where God does not deliver somebody from an earthly consequence or an earthly, you know, beating, stoned to death. The disciples were killed. You know, people who loved Jesus were right there on the front lines bringing about his message and his word were killed. You know, there's many who go out there and die as martyrs every day. Sometimes he's not going to show up the way we want him to show up. And we have to be prepared for that. That's part of counting the cost. We always talk about counting the cost. We talk about, you know, are we willing to step out there for him? And part of counting the cost, stepping out there, is saying, Lord, no matter what you do in my life, even if you say no to something I desperately, wholeheartedly want for my life or the life of others, I will still serve you if the answer is no. And you know, I saw, it was interesting, at one point I saw my life, you know, everybody falls into just trying to do good things, right? Trying to do a list of things that maybe will make us more presentable. A list of things that you know, we look at that scale, you know. We always, I always used to picture a scale, you know. If I could get more good things on one side, you know, than bad things on the other, right? Then maybe I'll be more presentable to God. Maybe then, you know, he'll listen to me more. Maybe then, you know, I'll be more holy. But it doesn't work that way. And you know what he showed me? He showed me this scale one day, and it had all this stuff, you know. It had all this garbage. And it was hitting the floor, right? Because everything on the one side was just too much. And then I looked to the other side of the scale, and there was not even a hook to put on the good works side. It was empty. That's what we're dealing with. There isn't a way for you to try and put so many good things on one side to bring down and to get rid of that evil, because there's not even a hook to put the thing that holds the good deeds on. You know, you could say it's stacked against us. Well, it is. We're born into sin. You know, and that's one thing where you say, well, if somebody doesn't turn to God, if somebody doesn't, you know, make him Lord and Savior of their life, you know, yeah, they're not going to be with him forever. We're not going to see them again. And maybe that's the thing that you're hung up on. But listen, he is worthy to be praised. Regardless of what he decides for our life, what he decides for this world, he is worthy to be praised. And maybe you want to talk to him today. You know, maybe you want to bring the frustrations to him. Today's the day. You know, we always put things off. If you want to talk to him about these frustrations, maybe it's frustration in your life, maybe it's frustration for someone else's life, bring it before him. Today's the day, right now, you know. Wherever you are is the time to do it, you know. And maybe today is the time to do it. And if you don't know him as Lord and Savior, if you have never truly, if maybe that scale rings true to you. Maybe you're just trying to do good things. Maybe you're just trying to follow the rules that you read in the Bible. Maybe you're trying to follow the commandments. Maybe you're trying to follow the things that it says that even that Jesus says that we should do, but you don't actually have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Meet with him. Meet with him. Say, Lord, I want a relationship with you. I want to make you Lord of my life. Lord, save me from myself. And maybe you've drifted from him. Maybe you're in that darkness and you just keep running and you're running. You're putting on that mask and you're running and you're running. And maybe you need to meet with him today and say, Lord, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of running from you. I'm tired of running from the truth. There's only one true God, and he is our creator and our savior, and that's Jesus Christ. Meet with him today. Let him destroy that pride in your life. And my prayer, moving forward, is that even sorrow and hurt, even if they're there, that I will be able to say, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. Even if that sorrow and that hurt is still there, I want to be able to say, my hope is in you, Lord. Even no matter what happens, come what may, let it be known, I will cling to Jesus. No matter the unmovable mountains in my life, it is well with my soul. And if that is your prayer today, then ask him. And maybe you've been asking the wrong prayer. Maybe today's the day to correct that. Well, I know he's going to work in your life, and whatever it is that he's calling you to do, today's the day to make a decision to do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your love, your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you so much that I don't deserve anything, Lord. I don't deserve anything from you, but yet you have chosen to save me. Save me from myself. Save me from eternal death. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for the unmovable mountains in our life right now, Lord. Lord, I pray that those things that we can make a difference on and bring to you, that you will move in our lives. Help us to know how to move them. Help us to know how to put our life in a place, Lord, that we are faithful to you, Lord, that we are asking the right prayers and we have the right attitude. And help us to be able to have the faith to move those mountains in our life. For those mountains, Lord, that are unmovable, for the things that you have said no, for the things that you have said will not move, Lord, help us to say, it is well with my soul anyway. Help us to be able to look to you in all things, no matter what we think you should do in our life, no matter what we think others should do in our life, that our lives are just focused on doing what you have for us. Lord, I ask that you meet with each one here. Lord, just speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to make a greater commitment to you today, to move forward in loving you, Lord God, praising your name. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. And Heather's going to come up in the team. If you'd like prayer, you know, come forward. God will meet you right where you're at, you know, right where you're sitting. If there's something you want to bring him, bring it to him. You know, if you're having a hard time with something, bring it to him. If you're angry at God about something, tell him about it. If you're frustrated, tell him about that. But don't allow this opportunity to slip by for what God might be trying to do and trying to teach you in your life today.
That's a powerful, really hit me this morning. And, you know, I can admit that I've wasted too much time in if only land. Just a lot of time in if only land. And so why don't you stand and sing with us? And God speaks to your heart. Feel free to come forward. But like Derek said, just do that business with the Lord today. And just put it at his feet.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with me.
Lord, we just glorify you today. I just thank you for your word today. And God, I pray that we will just take it to heart. And Father, that we'd say even if today, Lord, we will serve you. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.